So let us begin. We're up to Paragimel, Pasik Lamed. Okay, Gimel Lamed. Al Tarif, Im Adam Chinam, Im Loi Gimel Chara. Do not quarrel with a person Chinam for no reason. Im Loi Gimel Chara, if he has not paid you back evil. What exactly does this mean? So let's first see the Mitzvah Pasik Lamed. A Gimel Chara. Gam tchila samase nikra b'mikra b'loshen gemul. Okay, so here the mitzudos is disturbed, very disturbed with the pasuk, because the word gemul means to pay back. Gemul always has a connotation that something has happened in the past. I started, and now you're finishing. Gemul can either mean for good or for bad. I was kind to you. And now years later you're paying me back for my kindness. Or gemul can mean for bad. I was wicked. I caused you pain. And years later, or a period of time later, you will now take advantage. You will take revenge. Or you'll give me what I deserve. So that's the normal translation of the normal connotation of the word gemul. Gemul means it's payback. Payback implies there was a step that came before. Here, what's the step? Here it says, Al Tarvi Amadam, Chinam. Chinam, the word Chinam means for no reason at all. Im Lo Gemol Chara, if he has not paid you back evil. What do you mean paid you back? He didn't. Where did he do anything to you? Where did you do something to him that now he's coming to pay you back in a harmful way? That's exactly what the Mitzvah is addressing. The Mitzvah says in Achanam, the word gemul here does not mean payback. It's being used in an entirely different way. It means tchila, even though he has not done anything for the very first time to you. Gemul just means, in this context, to do good or to do bad. One more time. Gam techila samase. It's also a valid translation of the word. The beginning, the very first time, nikra b'mikra b'loshen gimul, v'chein im goyim lematem li alai, if you want to do something good to me, kein yoyel. There it's also used in the same context. It means to do something good for the very first time. So this is the simple translation. Don't go quarrel with your friend. Don't go make trouble if he has not done anything, any evil thing to you. Rashi does not exactly seem to learn in that fashion. Rashi pasik lamid al tariv im adam lisloinein olav. Don't lisloinein, to complain against him. Lisloinein is a very, that doesn't mean necessarily to actually do a deed. It means to quarrel with him. Imlag, what, to murmur? Okay, to murmur with him. Imlag molchara, sha'avar al hanitzva, haksuva batara. If, now what's the ra? If he did not do an avera. Okay, so according to Rashi, Rashi over here is telling us the gemul is also being used in response to Hashem's command. Hashem has commanded every single person to observe the Tayag Mitzvos. You are aware that a person, your neighbor, someone you know about, has violated Hashem's Mitzvos. So this person, that is called Gemul, because indeed it's a second step. Hashem told every person what to do or what not to do, and this person has not followed the instructions. Not following instructions is a second step. So the word gemul to some degree does fit, it does apply. Hashem told you to do this, either to do a mitzvah or do not do a mitzvah, and in response, the person has chosen not to do the mitzvah or to do the avera. So it's a second step. And I happen to be aware. I happen to be aware, to be knowledgeable that this person is a Navarian, is doing Averos. Then Rashi will go on to say, that gives me legitimacy, that gives me the right. I'm entitled to quarrel with him. I can knock on his door and I can say, you are an evil person. You are not doing Hashem's will. And we have Halach. How do we know you're allowed to do this? You're supposed to love your friend kamocha. That only applies in an instance, a person that is Osa Maisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi goes on to say, Sha'avar al Aveira, if the person did not do an Aveira, Haksu b'Torah, because the Pasuk says, V'havta l'recha kamocha, U'mi shu rasha, Rashaya tolasono. You have to love your friend like yourself. That's only when he is re'acha kamocha. He's doing mitzvos like you are doing mitzvos. But he's not doing mitzvos, then you are permitted to hate him. And when you're permitted to hate him, you are permitted to quarrel with him and make trouble. Now, I don't know if that's advisable today in the 21st century to go and start making trouble for people who don't do mitzvos. Obviously, you have to take this with a grain of salt. You have to understand that we're not dealing in a generation where we have control over society. But in an idealistic society where Klal Yisrael has the upper hand, there's a Bezdin, there's Shoftim, and there's a Melech, and there's law and order, then you would have the right to hate a person and indeed to quarrel with the person, provided that he has been goimel HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Ra. So indeed it does, the word goimel according to Rashi, the point I want to make is it does fit according to Rashi. And also some point according to Rashi is that the person has not yet done something to you. See, according to the very simple level, a simple translation of the Pasuk, don't make trouble with your friend if your friend has not done you harm. If he has not, doesn't park in your driveway, right? He doesn't steal your newspaper every morning. He has not caused you direct harm. Then it's not nice for you to go and call up the government and tell the government that so-and-so is cheating on his taxes, right? So-and-so is doing... That's really what the Mitzudot seems to be saying. We're dealing with something with personal matters between you and your friend. Rashi says, no, even if it's not between you and your friend, it's between your friend and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That also will give legitimacy for you to enter into the picture and to start quarreling with him because you are bothered that there's a person that is not observant of Hashem's ways. And indeed, then the word Gemul does fit into the context because the person has been goimel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ra Tachas Tova. Hashem gives every person goodness. The fact that a person is alive is a blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon man. For a man not to follow Hashem's mitzvos, you are giving back to Kadosh Baruch Hu evil for the good that he has done to you. And if the person has not done any averus, you have no right to step in and to cause him any harm. Okay, that is Rashi Mitzvot. Now, in the Rabbeinu, I think it's Rabbeinu Yonah, he has another interpretation. I'm not even sure Rabbeinu Yonah, if it's the Gro, I don't remember. I saw this in the art scroll. He explains that, no, let's assume we're dealing over here with a person that is your friend, your next door neighbor. And you had a quarrel with him. You had a quarrel with him. You got into some disagreement, and he went and said bad things about you to the neighbors. He said bad things to you. He posted something on his Facebook page that was not complimentary to you. So war. We have to go to war. He was nasty, insulted me. I'm gonna reciprocate. Pasuk says, no. The word gemolcha means, was there any real damage? Just because a person says something nasty, or a person does something that's not 100% proper, does not mean you should go to war. Was there any loss to you? Did you lose money? Did you lose honor? Did you suffer in any real way? And the answer is, no. He hurt my feelings. He insulted me. But I didn't really, I didn't lose one penny because of what he has done. I didn't lose any prestige. People, in fact, they side with me. So that's what it says over here. The word gemolcha means he did something to you. He paid you back. I was good to him. I gave him a beautiful mishloach manos last year, Pesach. I spent $10, $20, $30. And now, I needed a favor. And he said no. He paid me back ro tachas tova. He parks in my driveway when I told him not to do so. But is that called ro'o? Did you suffer a financial loss? Did you suffer in any tangible way? No. Therefore, Pasuk says, it's not kedai to make a fight. There are times in life when it's kedai to fight, and there are times in life when it's not kedai to fight. Even though you feel wronged. We all every so often feel that we have suffered an injustice. But not every injustice demands that we respond with force. Yeah.
What if you're afraid the person will accelerate?
Then you have to make that assessment. Einochanami. This is how Einochanami. That might be already in the category where he is gemol chora. Okay, this is what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the word chinam, he's coming to tell us, chinam means, chinam, the average person says chinam means zero. That's not so. Chinam can mean, on a scale of 1 to 100, chinam can mean 40. He's done something that is damaging, 40. But that's still in the big picture of things called chinam. That's still called nothing. The second half of the pasuk is translating, is defining what chinam means. Al tarif im adam chinam, don't quarrel with a person who has done to you who is considered chinam. What is chinam? When he didn't say good morning to you? What is chinam? No. Chinam means he's nasty. He didn't say good morning to you. He insulted you. But im lo gimol chara'a. Gemolcha means something tangible. He did not pay you back with evil. Gemolcha has a connotation. He did something which you can define as a loss. Because of him, I'm out $300. Because of him, this person doesn't want to go out with my daughter. Doesn't want to be mashanach with me. Okay, now go to war. And Achanami, he was gemolcha ra. But if it's not gimolcha, which has that connotation of something that is tangible, that already the pasuk is telling us, I consider, Shlomo HaMelech says, consider it to be chinam, even though you're not happy. Okay, this is the way Rabbeinu Yonah. So we have maskana, three mahalchim in this pasuk. Perish of mitzudos. It's simple as can possibly be. Chinam actually means zero. The person, don't go make a quarrel with the person who has done to you nothing. And Gemolcha then has to be loosely translated with a new translation. He has not started up with you. Gemolcha, he has not begun to quarrel. Rashi, no, that's not the translation of Gemul. Gemul means to pay back. But he has not paid you back. He's been goymel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ra by not observing Torah mitzvos. Nothing to do with you. It's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just that you are a zealot. And it disturbs you to see because someone is not an observant Jew. You want to go fight with him. But if he's still observant, he's a Shomer Shabbos. He has not then v'havta re'acha kamocha. And the third mahalach of Rabbeinu Yonah is we're dealing not between you and him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between me and you. But we're coming to define a translation of ra, chinam. Chinam has to be where there is a gemul. Gemul means tangible harm that we call ra. Yeah.
How does this work with gemul in
a
positive sense?
In achnami, I told you to study. Gemul just literally means payback. Payback. It can mean payback for good and payback for evil.
Payback implies,
yeah,
I did something and now you're paying me back.
So okay, so according to Hashem bestows chasadim tovim. So you ask me a general question: why, in that context, in gomel chasadim tovim, what have we done that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying us back? So according to the Mitzvah, it makes a lot of sense. Gomel means a beginning, haschola. Hatzchol. Now we say that's like the most common uses of the word in Shemona Esrei every single day. Aha, with the avos. So you say Kadosh Baruch Hu is reciprocating for the kindness of our forefathers. So then in the Chanami there is a reciprocation. We can't demand that Hashem should reciprocate to us, because who says that our deeds are of any value? But our forefathers, certainly their chasadim are of significance. Hashem is reciprocating to us in their merit. Very good. It's not just something which is for free. Yeah. Rav Meir, I thought you had something to say. You have a lot to say. You have a lot to say, but not at this moment. What?
People choose not to react.
Yeah.
Because they feel that maybe this is better this way, that they
calculate
judgment again, that whatever's happening, even though they feel they may not deserve it, is payback from Hashem for something that they might have done, and they accept the judgment of God for not reacting.
Silence.
Okay.
In Gemilas Chasadim, is that the same word, Gomel?
Yes, exactly what he said.
So his question was, where? What do you mean Hashem is paying us back? What have we done to Hashem that he owes us? So Rabbi Mayevsky answered, and it's not for us. Go further in the Nusach HaTzvil of the Zohar Chastei Avos. The chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying back is in reward for the good deeds of our forefathers. So there is... Well, I don't think we can demand that. You can't come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and demand, Hashem, you know, I made out a check, $18 to
you do someone a favor.
Yeah.
You
can't hold Hashem hostage. That's not the way it works.
No.
Yeah.
It could work.
What? It could work? But you can't demand it in the Nusach HaTzilah. It could work, but it's not something
you can't go to court.
You can't go hold Hashem hostage to your demands. Okay, now we come to the next pasuk. The next pasuk we begin is a series of sukkim. Now, the thrust. Okay, I would never know this. I would totally be oblivious to this. But there are many midrashim all over, all different types of midrashim. But there is a collection of midrashim that focus on a noef, an adulterer, an adulteress. That really more precisely the parsha of Sota, when a woman is unfaithful to her husband, and that includes with it. Suspect of being unfaithful, but here we're going to take it to the extreme where she indeed is guilty. She is guilty of having relations with a man other than her husband, and that includes with it the husband also. Because Chazal always tell us that it starts, it's a two-way street. The waters only will test a woman to determine if she is guilty or innocent if the husband is 100% innocent. If the husband is guilty of being unfaithful to his wife, and specifically, I mean, there are many different madrigals of being unfaithful to his wife, but also having relations with another married woman. Then when the husband takes his wife to the Beis Hamikdash to have her tested, it's not going to work. The waters only test his wife if the husband is also innocent from any guilt in this matter. So the parish of Sota in the big picture is not just where she, the wife, is unfaithful, but it's also where the husband is unfaithful. The parish which follows Sota in Parshas Noso is Nazir. And the Gemara goes on to say, why is the parish of Nazir juxtaposed to the parish of Sota? The person comes into the Beis Hamikdash and he sees what they do to the Sota. They uncover her hair, they uncover her body, and they give it to drink, and she can die this ugly death. He gets frightened. Nazir atzmo min hayayin. He declares himself to be a nazir. Bring upon himself discipline not to engage in the pleasures of this world, because he'll fall down the slippery slope. One thing leads to the next. Before he turns around, he will also be nichshol in arayos. So these two things are connected: znus and nazir. And all the psukim we're going to have now are going, according to Kalista, according to one series of midrashim, many from Yalkut Shmoni, are going to bring out many ideas about znus and its relationship to a nazir, discipline to protect oneself from being nichshol in the sadeira. Yeah.
The husband committed a rayus, right? He also then did one more. So why don't we make him swear that he never did it?
He wasn't caught. He wasn't caught.
He wasn't caught.
He wasn't caught.
It doesn't work. If he did something wrong, then it won't work. The Mayim Memorial won't work.
Rather than going through the process of erasing Hashem, Mochak Hashem Hashem,
yeah,
going through this whole process here, and you know it's not going to work, because
well, he should know that. It's very likely that he was told all of this. I mean, all of the halachas were well known at this point in time. Anyone that was taking his wife to the Sota, to the Kohen, L'chora had a primer. Right, they gave out the Sota primer.
Orientation.
Right, they download online before you come in the Sota primer. Were you a Mizana? Be aware, if you're a Mazana, it's not going to work.
They have a checklist.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
But then again, if it doesn't work, how do you know whose fault it is that it doesn't work?
Well, it came a point in time. Well, there were many tkufas. There were many tkufas in the history. There came a point in time where they stopped doing this altogether.
Right.
The Ramban says that this is one of the greatest miracles, open miracles in the Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael, test me. I'll do a miracle. She'll come, she'll drink a glass of water, on her stomach will explode. Hashem is saying, test me. A woman is mezana, you're going to see it's going to happen. When it's going to happen, this is the lamalim derech hateva. It's one of the open miracles in the Torah that such a thing should happen. And this we were roy for this bizman that we were holding. Kali Yisrael was on a very exalted spiritual level during the time of the Bayis Shedi. I don't think they ever did this. It seems like they didn't do this anymore. They stopped doing this because it wouldn't work. And even when they did do it and it did work, it doesn't necessarily mean it worked immediately. That was the extreme, what happened on the spot. I think Chazal said that it could happen a year later. It can begin a process of an illness which will ultimately die through a stomach disease which comes up through who knows.
So he talks about Masa Taiva, she had Masa
Taiva. Right, and it can be Megan for a Tkuvah period of time. So
which would assist?
It's a very complicated process. But
what's the story
with the sister, and then she came out, she kissed her, and she inhaled the fragrance of the water. Okay, the water with the ink had some type of reach, and when she kissed her, that fragrance that she inhaled, and that itself killed the guilty woman. But these psukim that we're going to come to now are going to allude to these ideas. The first pasuk begins Al Tekaneh, a person should not be jealous be ish chamos, the Al Tivchar b'chol durachav. A person should not be jealous of a violent person, should not choose in all of his ways. On a very simple level, this means a person should not be jealous, be impressed by the success of the wicked. Just because there are people out there in the world that are wicked and extremely successful, and no one can topple them, don't be impressed. In other words, Rasha v'toivlo. Don't let it be to you a nisayon. Let's take a look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Be'ish chamos, behatzlochas ish chamos. Do not be impressed by the success of wicked people, of violent people. Chamos literally means violence. Or it's also used in the form of theft. That's all Rashi Mitzvot says. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Al tekani be'ish chamos, la'asos kemasav. Do not imitate him. Rashi goes a step further. We see that he is successful. Now the Medrash says, we're referring specifically, it's an amazing Medrash. I personally never thought of it like this. The Ish Chamas is the ultimate, a man that is mezaneh, a man that commits adultery and fathers a mamzer, an illegitimate child, is the ultimate ganav. Now why would you say that? You would say because, well, I would rather, if you would stop right there, I would say because he stole someone else's wife. Right? He stole someone else's trust. This is my friend, I stole his wife, or I stole her innocence.
I would say, like Gemara says, you can't pay it back.
What do you mean you can't pay it back?
You steal it, the Gemara talks about it.
You can't undo it, okay? You can't return the sin.
You can't pay it back.
Okay, the Enechlam, these are all very nice ideas, and exactly what I would think would come to mind. But the Medrash is something much more profound. The Medrash says, what happens if a person is mezan, it produces a mamzer, and his neighbor doesn't even know. The neighbor thinks that it's his child, right? The woman is pregnant, so the woman thinks she has a child. So the husband thinks that it's his child, right? Isn't that they don't have DNA testing? Today, all these horror stories today where they do the DNA test and they realize that the person is not really the father because the woman was mezana with the next door neighbor, whatever it was, with someone else. So this man is supporting a child that's not his. He sends him to elementary school, to high school, to college, takes out a second mortgage, he marries him off, pays for the grandchildren, pays for everything. His whole life, he's supporting someone. Okay, all depends, of course. All depends on the lifestyle, how long you support children, whatever it is. He's giving away, he's working his head off to support a person that's not even his own child. And he doesn't even know it. And who's the cause? Who is the cause of this person supporting someone that's not his own child? The one that was mezaneh. Reuven was mezaneh with Shimon's wife. And Shimon's wife has a mamzer, and Shimon is paying tuition. So Reuven, who brought about this entire thing, is the ultimate ganef. It's not a one-time grand larceny. I stole someone's car, $20,000, and it's over. You put in a claim to your insurance company, you're done. This goes on forever. This expense, talk about money, forget about all of the spiritual implications of mamzeris and so on and so forth and yichas, but just talk about money, talk about just simple theft, is all what Reuven is doing. And Shimon doesn't even know.
Yes.
So it is the ultimate chomos. A man that is mezaneh is the ultimate ish chomos. So, a mamzer cannot be rectified. So here it says altakani bi ish chomos. So we're referring specifically to the man, that commits arayos. He's very successful. He has pleasure, secret pleasure. Mayim ginuvim yim taku. Chazal say stolen waters are sweet. It's much more pleasure in being with someone else's wife than with his own wife. Don't be jealous of him. The altif chay b'chol derachav. Don't follow his lifestyle. Go on to the next pasuk. Pasuk lamed is a continuation. Ki sevas Hashem nolos. Now this fits very well, this medish, because this is the ultimate abomination. The word toava is a very powerful word. What is it doing over here in this pasuk? I mean, what is this word altakanei b'ishchamas? What's going on? Chamas is a toy. Is it toeva? We don't find that in the Torah. The Torah used the word toeva for arayos. I don't remember the psukim parashas in the parashas of Achrimos. All the arayos it talks about to'ah to'eva. That's the primary place where the Torah used the word to'eva in reference to arayos. So it fits very well. The ish chamos is the noef. The Yalkut Shimoni says this is the noef. Don't choose his derach of his path in life. Okay, I don't know. Really, there must be more to that. I don't have a perish what the significance of those words are. Why that ties into the ish chamos? But we'll leave it with that. Ki toyavas Hashem nolos, because it's an abomination of Hashem nolos. Nolos means corruptness. This form of corruptness, to live with another man's wife, is the greatest form of abomination. And now here comes something that's really beautiful. These next few words, something which I personally never heard, a twist on a well-known chazal, v'es yisharim sodo. But instead, the secret, the sod, will go to the upright. Now, we read this pasuk. What in the world does a yashar and a sod have to do with a to'eva, nolos, and ishchamos? Let's first see the mitzudos. And then I'll explain some amazing message, which really opens up this pasuk wide. Pasuk lama base first in the mitzudos, get the pshat. Nolos, haser, v'hanoite, miderech ha-yoshar. We learned that before. Hasar. Someone who turns, v'hanoite, miderech ha-yoshar. Okay, the word nolos, we had this before. Person who deviates from the straight path. The S, im yisharim, mamik sod atzah. So with a upright person, called the Shpar, who deepens the revelation of his secret counsel, me ahavoso osam, due to Hashem's law for the righteous, for the yisharim, uchimasha omar, like we find by Avraham, v'Hashem omar, hamechase ani me Avraham, when Hashem was about to destroy Sodom, Hashem said, it's a secret, only I know that is going to be, that's what we learn today, gofris v'melach shreif v'chol hartzah, kimapecha stom v'amora, mamish, today's learning. Today is the yard site of 9/11, Hebrew yard site?
Yes.
Today? So it's interesting, on the day of 9/11, it was a Tuesday. 9/11 was a Tuesday. No, what?
Today's the
17th. I know, I mean the Hebrew date. Last week was 9/11. Feirish, a flabbish Jewish journal. You know? Feirish, a flabbish Jewish journal. But today is the Hebrew day. The English day, you should know, you should don't take light. I mean, you know, I had this discussion that should our Orthodox Jews commemorate, they should commemorate 9/11. Should they commemorate it on September 11th? Or should they commemorate it on today? So I think most poskim say on a September 11th. And September 11th, you know, in the Torah, people make this mistake that the secular date has no meaning. It's absolutely not true. In the Torah, you have multiple places. Shana Tamima, Bati Ore Chayma, goes after the solar year, and the solar year has 365 days. So there are many things in there are many different areas in halacha that have significance in the solar day, which is basically the secular calendar. 9/11, you talk about the 9/11, talk about the towers. It's mamish the Bate Ori Chayma. Okay, the towers represent, you know, the Chayma represents the power. Chamosecha, Abasuros, it represents mamish the fortress of the financial power and of the political power, financial power. It's a symbol of power of Umos Olam. It's the secular date is very significant for 9/11, but also happens to be that, you know, the yard site people, Rahman Lutzlan, the yard site of a Beagle Eisen. I mean, someone else. So their yard site is today. Zalmanovich. Their yard site is. We follow the yard site. You follow the. Okay, but. Okay, so we have over here Hamechas Ani Me'Avram. So it was a sod. It was a secret that only Hashem knew would happen. Gofres Somelach Shreif Cholarza, that it was going to be destroyed, and Hashem said, "I'm going to reveal the sod to the Yisharim." The ovals are called the Yesharim. They're called the Yesharim. That's why Chumash Bereish is called the Sefer HaYashar. So that's what he was referring to, this Yesharim Soda. That's why Rashi is coming and telling us, he's showing us that the Shmarach reveals secrets to the Yesharim, to the Avos, specifically Avraham Avinu. He was revealed to him that the stone was going to be destroyed. Now Rashi first says, Sod Hashem Li Yireyav. Okay, but here it's Yesharim. Let's see Rashi first. Rashi Kisev. Oh, I'm going to show you. I'm going to come down to the Met. Rashi, according to the Mitzvot, that we don't have, it doesn't say anything. According to the Mitzvot, he just says very simply, doesn't say anything. Hasav Anoyit Mederech HaYashar. Maybe he wants to go say is that Nolos, you have to go back to, I don't remember the pasuk before, Ma'agolosam. We had the word Ma'agol. The word Nolos was used in reference to a magol. A magol simply means a path, a very narrow, short path. That's a magol, which also means a circuit. It means a circle. So when a person, a nolos means you go off the straight path onto the
Perek
Beis, Pasuk Tezvav, Asher Orchosem Ikshim Unilozim Bimaglosam. So this is really what the Mitzvah is alluding to. Unilozim means they go off the straight path onto the circuitous path, the crooked path. A ma'agol means a circle. But in this context, it means a circle relative to a yashar, to a derech hayashar. You're in a derech hayashar. I choose to go off the derech hayashar onto some crooked path. The word nolos is the verb for going off the derech hayashar onto this crooked path. That's why it fits, according to this pasuk, once you have the word nolos, okay, the magle, okay, that's been used in a different way. It's a different way, but in this context, it does. Here in Mishle, it does. Unozlim b'maglosam. Here it says, in this pasuk,
it's like maybe their maglos and not the maglos of Hashem.
Of Hashem. Okay, so here in this pasuk, it says nolos, that automatically brings up in our mind, you're going off the straight path onto the crooked path. You've abandoned the straight path. Now the end of the pasuk comes back and says, but the es yesharim, the people that stay on the straight path, they will merit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's secrets. So the word yashar, even on a symbol level, does fit into the pasuk. Okay, now Rashi says, Kisevas Hashem nolos, mu'uvus bidrachav. It's an abomination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the person that it's nolos, which means a person who's crooked in his ways. To'avas is mu'uvas is crooked, right? It's crooked from the word nolos. Okay, mu'uvas is mu'uvas bedrachav. he's crooked in his path. V'yes yesharim sodo, v'im yesharim sodo. It doesn't say very, very much to explain the connection. There is just some, you know, syntax, but what's it? So in the Yalkut Shimon, he opens up this thing very wide. Now let me read you the expression, which is the wheel, which opens up everything. Nichnas yayin yotzeh sod. Everyone knows this chazal. When a person drinks wine, he gets a little, he loosens up, then yotzeh, the secrets exit. The Yalkut Shimon goes further and says, yotzeh yayin, what's the converse? Yotze yayin, what does it mean yotze? Wine goes out, meaning you don't allow wine to enter. Yotze, I distance. What?
Lay off the wine.
Nichnasot. You merit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's secrets, meaning discipline. If you discipline your,
you
discipline yourself, you control your taivos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants you secrets. Who is the one that is the one who epitomizes yotze yayin, completely distances himself from wine?
No.
The nazir. Why does the nazir distance himself from yayin? Because what does he witness? He witnesses the noif. He comes to the Beis Hamikdash and he sees the sota bilkul kula. Who's the sota bilkul kula? The to'avas Hashem, the ish chamas. He sees a couple that's during the Beis HaMikdash. It's going through this disgusting thing. Not me. I'm going to be a Nazir. I'm going to be someone who is Yotze Yayin. Yotze Yayin, Nichnasot. So that's why these two things go together. We're dealing here in Pasuk Lamed Aleph with the Sota, and a Pasuk Lamed Beis with the Nazir. And the Mela, that's just like in the Torah, the two are juxtaposed in Parshas Noso. They're back to back. So too, that's what the Yalkut Shimon says here. They're back to back as well. Okay, and that's also why it says the word Tekane. Let me just read you a little bit more of the words of the let's go now to the next pasuk. Before we go to the next pasuk, let me just—I think there's something else I wanted to mention. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Me'iras Hashem b'deis Rasha. The curse of Hashem is in the home of the Rasha. U'nevei tzadikim, in the abode of the righteous. Yivarech, there is blessing. Let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Me'iras Hashem ratzalem ha'oysher. The wealth, asher, b'deis Rasha, in the home of the Rasha. Kilas Hashem, it's a curse. Why is it a curse? Ki shemur l'rasai, it's guarded for Ra. Pasuk in Koheles. And it says in Tehillah that all the Ki'osha Shamar Lebalav Lira also. So this parallels afterwards. Shlomo HaMelech, he did write Kohelis also. He wrote Kohelis, he wrote Mishlei. So you take the Pesukim of Mishlei and you contrast them to the same Pesukim he wrote in Kohelis, knowing also that Kohelis he wrote when he was old, and Mishlei he wrote when he was middle aged. Even the ideas themselves matured over time into different words, which have different connotation, which are different, a different perspective on the same exact content. Same exact concept. He tells someone who's young, he looks at it one way. He looks at someone who's older, he has another way. Old age, in middle age, and old age, same exact idea. So here he's saying this in middle age. Mishlei was written when Shlomo HaMelech was middle aged, whereas Koheles was written when he was very old, and Shir HaShirim was when he was very young. And although many of the ideas overlap, it's a different perspective, different focus. Me'iras Hashem, there is a curse. Hashem bebeis Roshan, home of the Rosh, bebeis Tzadikim, is blessing. When we're talking words of the Mitzudos, Ratzlem Ha'isha, bebeis Rosh, Kilas Hashem, Hiki, Shmuki, the Rosh, Tachshav, Imkein, Leklala. It's considered a curse. Yivareich, but in the abode of the Tzadikim, there's a blessing. Musav al Hashem. This goes back on the pasuk before. Of the word of Hashem, Loimar, Shehu Yivarech Es Asher B'Nevei HaTzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless the property that is in the boat of the Tzadikim, Ratzo Loimar, Livrocha Techoshev. Any few dollars that are found in the home of the Tzadik will be a bracha, Ki Yashpiu Mitoivo Lidal, Vikab L'Guk L'Shrech Hu will bestow Mitoivon from their good Ki yashvu mi toivam ledal to the poor. Who's they? The wicked?
No, the
tzaddik. Ki yashpiu mi toivam ledal. The tzaddikim will tztaka to the poor. Vikablu gmum, they'll receive reward. The tzaddikim, they'll give tztaka, and in reward, Kadosh Baruch Hu will bestow them with reward. Vikablu, they'll receive gmum. Okay, let's take a look at the Rashi. There is no Rashi. Now the Medrash, the Yalkut Shmoni, continues in this theme, and he says the word Me'era means very clearly the curse that's said by the parsha of the Sota. The Sota, it says V'hoyu hamayim hama'orim, the bitter waters will be la'ola, will be for a curse. The mayim hama'orim will enter into the woman's belly, and will be for her a curse. The word oris, so referring to the woman who is a mezane, me'iras Hashem, the curse of Hashem will be based on Hashem, the home of the Rosh Hashanah. The why was woman mezane? It starts with him. He was mezane. He was unfaithful to his wife, and the meila that causes the marriage to fall apart, and eventually she will also go and be mezane. Univet tzadikim, in the home where there is discipline, where they don't have these problems, they will be blessed. Now, what's the word afterward, the yivarech? Because what comes after the parasha of Nazir? What's the next parasha? Continue. Birchas kohanim. And how does birchas kohanim begin? Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. So the soita is a curse. V'hayol will be for a curse. The Neveit Tzadikim are the Tzadikim who witness what's taking place by the Sota and the Yazir Atzmei Min Hayayin. They make a neder, they're not going to drink wine. And they become Nazirim. And in reward for being a Nazir, we go to the next parsha, Yivarechecha Hashem V'yishmerecha. This is the sequence of the pasuk according to the Yalkut Shemayni. Okay. Now there's another very beautiful drash, but this you have to be a baki in Tanakh to know the Sefer Melachim, also in Sefer Yeshaya. The Sefer Yeshaya takes this, we contrast the difference in behavior between Pekach ben Remaliyahu. He was one of the evil kings of the Malchus of Yisrael, with Tzidkiyahu. Pekach ben Remaliyahu, when he had we had a meal. Let me find the place. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. This is Gemara in Sanhedrin. Okay. Ma'idach Siv Me'iras Hashem Beis Rasha. Nevesetik Bivarach Me'iras Hashem Beis Rasha. Ze Pekach Ben Remaliyahu Shohoyu Oichel Arboim Sa Goizlois Bekinuach Suda. For dessert, we're not even talking about the main course or the appetizer. Dessert was 40 measures, 40 saw of birds. Okay, goizlois. Okay, little birds, little chickens. That was dessert. And this was a very great delicacy. But he was a rasha. And all of this display of wealth and indulgence is called a curse. On the other hand, on the Veit Tzadikim, contrast to this, the abode of the Tzadikim, there is blessing, Zechizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was the greatest from the Malchus of Yehuda, from the greatest kings of Yehuda. Melech Yehuda Shohaya Oichel Litra Yerek Pesuda. His entire meal, forget about dessert, was a small teeny measure of vegetables. But that, it's a vegan. But that small amount of vegetables was considered, he had all, everything was available to him. But he was a poirish. He fasted. He was a tzaddik, and that small amount that he ate was considered to be a very great blessing, in contrast to the enormous display of wealth and indulgence that was present in the home of Pekach ben Remaliyahu. That is how we contrast these two individuals. Okay. Let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is a very popular pasuk. Im laleitzim hu yolitz, vil anovim yitain chen. If a person wants to be a leitz, a scoffer, person who is mevatel, who makes nothing out of things which are important, a joker, scoffer, hu yolitz, gezunte hate, No one is holding you back. Who this individual, Yolitz, will be successful in accomplishing what he wants to do in making a mockery out of things which are important. But Vila Anovim, but to a person who is humble, Yiten, he will be granted, meaning more than he could accomplish, Chayin, grace. Chayin comes from the word of Matnas Chinam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will assist, will provide for him to accomplish more than he could accomplish on his own. Which brings out on a very Pshutosh Lamikra, the concept, Habah, of a person wants to Litanei, a person wants to contaminate himself, the door is open for him. But habal l'taher, a person wants to purify himself, we don't just open the door, we grant him assistance. So here, when it comes to the word leitz, which is one of the harshest words the Torah uses to describe an attitude that is antithetical to the Torah, it's nu hu yolitz. That's the way the world was created. The world was, the man was given the chiruch chavshes. You can do whatever you want in this world. No one's going to hold you back. No one's going to prevent you. But if you want to accomplish great things in this world, good things, the forces of good will always prevail. For one very simple reason, you will be granted divine assistance. Okay, if you ever go see a good cartoon, I don't want to say anything bad. Well, fairy tales, there's always the forces of good versus the forces of evil. Any good plot, any good action, novel, Balash and Sage Nar, will have the forces of good and the forces of evil. Okay, so it's supposed to, and today it's much more probably it sells better when the forces of evil win. But in the real world, the forces of good will always win. For one very simple reason, of this pasuk. In this pasuk, whenever there is a battle between two powers, the power of good will ultimately, it doesn't happen right away, it can take many, many years, it can take 70 years, but ultimately the force of good will win because of this pasuk. Pasuk is, V'lanovim yiten chein. He'll be granted divine assistance, a messiah also to prevail. Whereas the forces of evil, which are embodied in the term of Lulaitzin, Huyolitz, they can do whatever they want. They're granted Bechira Chavshas. But it's going to be, their power will always be less than the power of the Anavim, the humble, which represents the powers of good. Okay, let's see the Rashi and the Mitzvot. The first one, you can talk. What else we'll talk about. The Mitzvot first says, "Pas tamedal dem leitzim ratzolam l'chol echad meshalim gemul b'midah shemadat." Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzvot is learning the pasuk a little bit different. Hakadosh Baruch Hu repays every person according to the midah shemadat im leitzim hamal igim b'bnei adam. If a person who's a leitz, who mocks, ridicules, scoffs people, Yisavev Siba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused things to come about, Asher Yisloitetsu Bohem Bibo Yom Idam. The Mesudas here interprets the pasuk on a very simple level. The day will come when what goes around comes around. Will come Hu Yolitz. If he's a Leitz, Im Lelitzim Hu Yolitz. Other people will make out of him a nothing. What goes around comes around. Mida connected Mida. Vice versa, Vilanovim, Asher Heim Shifli Haruach, Umchadim Kolodim, a person that is kind and gracious and is good to the other person, ultimately he'll get what he deserves as well. Mida connected Mida, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we warn him, Yiten Chinam, Be'eni Hakol, Kadosh Baruch Hu will cause it that his grace, his favor will shine in the eyes of mankind. Be'eni Hakol, V'yichabdu Lohem, and he will be, V'yichabdu Lohem, he will be honored by them. Mida keneged mida. If you want to be a leitz, you want to mock other people, the day will come when society will mock you. They'll make nothing out of you. You want to be a kind, good person, a gracious person, the day will come when society will look up to you, they will give honor to you, and they will record you as a person, as being a good person. You leave over a legacy in this world. That is the pshuta shel mikra. Rashi, im leitzim, adam nimshach achareihem. So Rashi has a different interpretation of a person, im leitzim. If you associate,
Oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheino. If you associate with leitzim, adam nimshach achareihem, l'soif afhu yia leitzimahem, you will be influenced by your environment. We all know this to be so true. V'lanavim yitinchen, im l'anavim yischaber. Make no mistake about the pasuk. Quoting Rashi means if you will associate with humble people, sof sheyidnu masof chein de'enehem shabriyas. The end will be is sheyidnu masof. Your deeds will find chein de'enehem shel habrios. Your deeds, you'll become like them. If you will associate with humble people, you also will be humble, and the melee, you will be perceived as being a humble person in society. Don't underestimate the influence of having good friends, being in a good environment. We always say this in the world of chinuch, you could have the best kid, a child that has the greatest potential, and you put him in a group of people where he does not belong, they can ruin him much more than all of the great teachers and great program and great parents, great family. But if you get caught up in a bad environment with bad friends, it is sakonis nefashos, and vice versa. If you associate with good people, they can make even people of the lowest character look great. I've seen that sometimes. You have certain people that are just don't got it. But other people cover for them. They hang out with the right people, and those people, they make such a kiddush Hashem. They do such good things. The people that are not, who are on their own, couldn't last a day. All of a sudden, they're uplifted and they're respected and they're honored because they have the very good fortune to be associated with good people. Okay, now the famous Chazal, read the words in the Gemara. The famous Chazal is, it's Gemara Masech Makos on Daf Yud on the days. Many people probably know this Gemara. Ra'amar Rabba Babachon Rav Huna of Yamilah Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Lazar. Mina Torah or Mina Hanavim Mina Ksuvim. We learn Lamanu. There are three different sections of the Torah. Anytime we mentioned it before many times, anytime you have a Chazal that tells us that a concept appears in three places in Tanakh, in Torah, in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, this is an indication that this is a Yesod HaChayim. And this concept appears in all three sections of Tanakh. B'derech she'odom roitzei leilech ba'malichin also. Place where a person wants to go, we let you go. Minat Torah, we learn from Bilam. We learn from Bilam. Why am I Bilam? The Sivit says, "Pasuk v'yemar alukim al Bilam lo teilech imohem." Bilam asked Hashem, "Should I go with Balak's messengers?" Hashem said, "Don't go." But Hashem said, "But Hashem saw that he wanted to go." What did it say in the next pasuk? "Kum lechitam." Fine, if I see you really want to go. I'm giving you good advice. I'm telling you it's not in your best interest to go. It's not going to end good. But if you want to go, go. Kum leich imahem. You can go with them. We learn from Nevi'im. The pasuk in the Yeshaya says, Ani Hashem milametcha lehoyil. I am Hashem who teaches you to do good, to accomplish. Madrichicha bederech teilech. I guide you on the derech which you go. Which is interpreted with the derech which you choose to go. If you choose to go on this path, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to allow you to go on that path. And the third place is here in Mishlei, this pasuk im la leitzim hu yolitz. If you want to be a leitz, hu yolitz. And this is interpretation. It's not like the mitzudos. It's not like Rashi. It doesn't mean that you go. It doesn't mean that you're going to attach yourself to the leitzim. You're going to become a leitz. It does not mean like the mitzudos is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward you. It means if this is what you want to do, hu yolitz, you can do it. I allow you to do it. Bechira chavshes. V'lanav yitenchein. Now, by the way, there is the way the famous Chazal, the way it says in the Gemara, it's the Chazal itself is, it's also, besides what I've read you, Gemara Masechta Makos, it's also Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Omar Reish Lakish, Mai Dichsev, Im Lileitzim Hu Yolitz, Vilanavim Yitinchen, Boli Tamei, Poschin Lo, Boli Taher, Misayinoso. Over here he points out that Tosfos, on that daf, says that there's a mistake in the text. The girsa should not be poschin lo, like we are all familiar with, but it should be pisochim lo. What's the problem with the word poschin? Poschin means assistance. They're doing you. Person says, Ribbono shel Olam, I want to sin. Oh, you want to sin? I'll help you.
I'll open up the door. I'll give you the combination. I'll open up the door for you. You want to do a mitzvah? I'll help you. What's the difference between doing an avera or doing a mitzvah? Both of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing assistance. He's poischein lo, he's opening up the door, or he's misayin also, he is providing assistance. That is why Tosfos says, there was a mistake in the girsa. The correct girsa should be, bo letamei pisochin lo. There are doors that are available for the individual. You have to open it though. I'm not going to open it for you. You want to do an avera? You're not locked in. It's not a prison. The world's not a prison. You want to do an avera? Here is the door. I'm not going to open it for you. I'm not going to be over and lift the evil little tzitin michshol. But if you want, open the door and go do the avera. Pisachin lo. You want to do a mitzvah? Oh, messiah also. I'll open the door. I'll come inside. I'll give you a GPS. I'll tell you exactly where to go to do the mitzvah. There's going to be a sis. So the gears of Tais and Fathoms are much more precise. It's a much accurate. Yeah.
By Bilam and Bolah, the language of Lahem and Itam
is different
ways. You can go with somebody. You could be walking in the street with somebody.
Right.
Going with him. But you're not of like mind.
Uh-huh. Etam is.
So you want to go with them, as long as you're not with them in mind. So that's what God's warning them was. You didn't understand. I told you, you could go along.
But don't go with them. And he chose, I want to go with them.
Same kind. Go along for the ride.
Uh-huh. Very good. Very, very nice. Very powerful. Okay, so that is the basic Joshua. We also find this, you know, even though the Gemara Machlon mentioned three places, but we also Chazal also emphasize this by Shimshon HaGibor. Shimshon HaGibor, he married a non-Jewish woman. Achloikis, from the Pelishtim, and the Gemara in Yerushalmi says applies exactly this pasuk. The Gemara says, how could he have married this woman? The pasuk really says, they were shocked. His parents were shocked. Are there not enough Jewish girls to marry? You have to go marry a Pelishti. So, and the Gemara goes on to say. The pasuk says it was a tuuna who mivakesh miplishim, because he wanted an excuse. He wanted somehow to enter into their midst by marrying one of them in order to bring about their downfall. The Yerushalmi goes further to say, Amar Rabbi Lazar b'shiva. This is very interesting. Yerushalmi. There's a lot of discussion in Yerushalmi. B'shiva mekaymos ksiv lo tischatein bam. It says in the Torah 7 times you're not allowed to marry a woman from a non-Jewish woman. Now the problem is, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah 7 times you're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman. So they all struggle. Where in the world? So there's a long footnote over here. He actually goes through, doesn't explicitly say in the Torah 7 times you may not marry a non-Jewish woman. It says, for example, Lo yihye kodesh. What is a kodesh? Well, kodesh means a person needs mezana once in a while. But the concept of being a kodesh means to have relations, to enter into a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, which may lead to marrying her. And the Gemara gives different, the only Gemara finds in the Torah 7 different psukim which allude to the prohibition, the possibility of marrying a non-Jewish woman. And therefore, how then could Shimshon be so foolish, the Yerushalmi says, to do violate what it says in the Torah? And Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, im leleitzim hu yoletz. Shimshon HaGibor was mekayim this pasuk. He made a litzonis out of the Torah. The Torah told him, don't do it. And he mocked the Torah. He diminished the significance of the prohibition of not marrying a non-Jewish woman by choosing to marry this woman from the nation of Palestine. He is the one who fulfilled in its fullest sense im leleitzim hu yoletz. A person who marries out of the faith into marriage, or the Yerushalmi, it's very powerful stuff. We don't really take seriously that in America. They 70%.
Their wives are shiksa. They have nothing to do with Judaism, but they're Jews from Palestine or whatever.
the kirva organizations tell us that intermarriage in the United States is hovers around 70%.
Certain parts of the United States.
70%. It used to be 50%. Now, last they've said it's up to 70%. They don't have people with any Jewish identity. And 70%, you know, the Orthodox Jewish community, although we think we pride ourselves that, you know, we control the world. The truth is we're a teeny, Orthodox Jewry is a teeny, teeny fraction. I don't know if this is true. Someone told me in Eretz Yisrael, people that are fully Shomer Shabbos are less than 20% in Eretz Yisrael. Jews, is that correct?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine.
Less than 20%. So I'm talking about fully. Yom Kippur, Baruch Hashem, the whole country. It's like 95%? Yom Kippur. What?
With a bicycle.
Okay, bicycle. A bicycle, big deal. But Yom Kippur, but there is an awareness. An awareness, today is Yom Kippur on some degree, even if they eat. Today is Yom Kippur. I feel the day is Yom Kippur. Over 90%. Over 90%, if not even 100% in Eretz Yisrael.
Yep. The problem is, number one, that polls are not reliable.
100%.
Surveys are not reliable. And two, pretty much all the children, the young children being born in Eretz Israel, are from it in some, you know, to some extent.
Hey, there's an awareness. There's an awareness.
It's impossible for that percentage to remain
the way it is. Okay, that
again, the way they tell us.
But in America, unfortunately, it's getting worse and worse. In America, unfortunately, there are. I mean, what was it? Five? I don't know the numbers. There are millions.
Population be increasing in America, and yet still always be 10%. It's not possible.
Okay. But unfortunately, this is a very frightening chazal because this is a pasuk that we all know does not, this pasuk is not a pleasant pasuk. Im lelate simhu yonitz. We simply translate it as being a, you make jokes, a joker. Today you have to make jokes. You can't survive. You don't make. You have to be in a good mood. But the word late is a much more powerful word. It means to make nothing over something that is represents the essentials, the yesoidos of yados. The yesoidos of yados is to marry a Jewish woman. To intermarry, this is the worst of the worst. According to the Shulchan Aruch, if a person marries a non-Jew, the parents have to sit shiva. They used to do this. I remember my parents told me about someone they knew they actually did this. That is, that one of their children married a shiksa. The parents, they sat shiva. People came to the home to say Hamokum Minachim Eschem. Today, it's unheard of. You'll never hear this today. Unheard of. But this, and this, according to the Yerushalmi, the ultimate fulfillment of Im Lelet Simhu Yalitz is when a man marries a non-Jewish woman. Because you're making a litzonis of the Torah, of Mesorah, of the Avos, by bringing yourself in a situation where your next generation will not be halachically Jewish. Lelet Simhu Yalitz, yeah.
Shlomo Melech himself is king. You know, the term warns it. Should king should marry someone?
18 wives.
What did he say?
No, I'm not.
I'm above the law. Above the law. That's what always happens. That's what. That's what always happens. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Okay, you can't judge Shlomo HaMelech on his madrega. We can't even fathom who he was, his greatness. But it's a powerful new look at an old problem, something which you don't associate these two together. But according to the Yerushalmi, these two go together. Okay, we will stop over here with this pasuk.